good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, May the 19th, 2016, 12:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Scott Spears along with you here on the Now program, and we have got a great program today. I want to let you know real quick what's coming up next hour. We will be joined live in studio by 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen visits with us once a month, and she will be in here. Actually, this will be her first visit since Donald Trump got the Republican nomination, and Hillary Clinton looks like she's going to get the Democratic nomination. So it'll be fun to talk with Mary Ellen Withrow live next hour, 1:10 until 2 p.m. But this hour is going to be tremendously fun, because in the history of this program, there are some guests who I love when they come on. They have a free invitation to come on anytime they like, and I invite them on as much as I can because it's just a joy to talk to them. Sometimes we talk about their career, sometimes we talk about what's going on, but today with this particular guest is special because on May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, just a few days ago, she had a birthday. Now, the age that it lists as her birthday, I think, has to be incorrect, so we're not even going to get into that. So I'm just going to say 40th birthday. She is an Emmy winner. She has worked with everybody in Hollywood who is somebody, from Danny Thomas to June Allison to Danny Kaye to Carol Burnett to everybody in between. She maybe is most notably known as the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid to all the little kids, and not even little kids anymore since that movie came out almost 30 years ago. Can you believe that? That is pretty amazing. She is delightful. She is gracious. Her laugh makes me laugh and feel good, and I know it does to you too. She is the irreplaceable Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. How are you?
Doing so well. I haven't talked to you really in depth since Christmas. How has life been?
Oh, life is always wonderful. Just to be alive is a miracle, Scott. And at my age, I just turned 89.
Can't be right.
On May 5th. Hallelujah. Am I happy to be here to announce that. It's just been wonderful. I am so glad to still be here. I'm still learning. I'm still experiencing things. And every day it's wonderful to wake up.
You know, Pat, very interestingly, a lot of actresses in your business have either fibbed a little bit on their age or certainly do not like to mention their age after a certain age. Was that ever the case with you?
Never. I am always proud to be the age I am, thrilled to death to have lived so long. And I find age is really just a quality of mind. What are people so afraid of about the years they've lived on Earth? They should be celebrating. How extraordinary to have any time on this planet Earth at all, to experience everything there is to experience, to still be curious about things. It's exciting, Scott. Come on, it's wonderful.
You know, Pat, a lot of people in the entertainment industry, maybe it's not that they don't want to share their age, but a lot of people have said after a certain age, the work kind of dries up and they still want to work. Did you ever find that?
I have never considered it because I always thought, well, if you want to work, make yourself available. Let people know you want to work. You know, a lot of people think I'm retired. I'm not retired at all. I'm just waiting for someone to ask me to dance. Oh, no. Life is too much fun.
Would you like a role to come? What type of thing would you like to do at this age? Would you like to do stage work? Would you like to do a movie? More voiceover work?
It doesn't make much difference. I just enjoy my work, which I have done for how many years now? Thank you, Lord. I have loved what I do since I was 13. And I've never fallen out of love with it. It's a pleasure and a joy always to do any work theatrical. It's just very exciting, very demanding, and it asks the best that you have to give. How many professions do that?
You're exactly right. You know, Pat, actors and actresses always kind of interest me. What is it about becoming somebody else that is intriguing to you?
I think, for myself, I can only answer for me. It's the joy of trying on new characters, to try to be somebody different than you are. It's fascinating. I've always found it to be so. Ever since I decided that this was the work I wished to do in my life. And that was a wonderful day because it gave me focus. And I knew that it was going to be a long haul, but it was going to be intriguing along the way. I have learned more. Every year I've been in this profession, I've learned something. Isn't that wonderful?
Tremendous. Want to go a little further in depth on this topic because I think it is fascinating. When you get a role, no matter if it's somebody who was living or if it's just a character, how much of Pat Carroll is in that role? Because if nothing else, you kind of look like them.
That's funny. Well, you know what? I think each person that you attempt to do or to put on or to affect is so different. And it's wearing different hats, and that's always intrigued me about this profession. You get to wear different hats and to try to be someone else. It doesn't mean that you're always successful in the attempt, but at least you get to try to be somebody else. Isn't that fun? I used to sit on park benches waiting for buses, and I would watch people. I would watch the way they walked, the way they looked at things, and I used that as a file for me as a young actress to try to conjure up what different characters would do. Isn't that fun? It's like being a detective, isn't it?
It really is. When you get a job, let's say your character on Make Room for Daddy, who is a fictional character, is that different than doing somebody who actually was alive, like when you portrayed Gertrude Stein?
It's a totally different approach because with the person who actually lived, you are restricted by truth and reality. With a fictional character, you can go any way you want based on a director's ideas. And I think it's more fun to have the freedom to try different things. Dealing with someone like Gertrude Stein, you were limited by the truth of her life. And so you couldn't go outside of those truthful bonds, not really, if you were being honest. And, I think it's more fun to deal with fictional characters because you can go in any direction. Who is to correct you if it's fictional, except the author? No. But I don't know. I love those characters where you have no bonds.
This becomes interesting because with a character like Ursula in The Little Mermaid, she was a character, but she had no voice. So how did you approach that?
Well, number one, you have a physical image. And then your imagination as a voice actor comes into sway as to how would that character sound? What would they sound like? What would their noise be? What would their volume be? It's intriguing, is what it is, because you get to use your imagination in voicing a character. Now, with someone like Ursula, you have visually this big creature. So the voice can't be very tiny. It has to be big. Because of the physical vision we get of that person. Now, isn't that fun to begin with?
You know, I reading a script must be a very fun experience.
Oh, it is. It is. It's always intriguing.
Do you still get scripts?
No, I don't. Nobody sent me a script in a long time. Shame on you.
That's right.
Because I love to deal with characters. Oh, I love that. It's putting a voice in something that really doesn't exist. And that's fun, because you have to ask a lot of questions about that character. It's not you. It's that character, but you only have you to use. So it becomes a game of detective work.
Is there, if a script showed up on your door tomorrow morning, is there anything that you would not do?
Do?
Yeah, is there anything you would not do? Any part you would not take?
Yes, given a true basis of the character, I don't think, if I didn't think I could do it, I would say no. But if I thought it was within my ability, within the realm of what I can accomplish, I would be delighted to try. Because you're not always going to hit it on the button. You're not always going to be right in your imagination or your imaginings about that character. But as close as you can get, it's such fun to try. You know, as with anything in life, the curiosity about whether you can do that or not always fascinates me. It lures me on. I adore that. It is such fun to try and piece together with your voice a thing, not a person, but a character of something that might exist, that might not be a person. You know, we always think of terms of our own being, but what if it isn't a person like us? What if it's something else? And I think Ursula has always been that something else to me.
I would guess, because Ursula is the villain in The Little Mermaid, and Pat Carroll is not a villainous person.
You don't know that. That's the truth of it. You don't. But villainous characters for actors are always more exciting because they have more edges, they have more mystery about them. So that's part of the fun of trying to discover who and what that mysterious character would be.
Is language ever an issue? Because in today's television, a lot of Emmys and awards like that are won by cable series, and the language is a little different than it used to be.
In what way, Scott? Describe
a little more difference. Little more profane.
Profane?
Yeah, profanity. A little profanity.
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, does that matter in a role for you? Would you turn?
Yes, it does matter, because profanity to me, unless it is the ultimate important characteristic of the character you are to play, has no use. We don't have enough good language in the theater, in television, in all of our spoken arts today. You know, we've become a very lacking in excitement in language. And English is one of the most exciting languages in the world because it's so open to so many influences of other languages. It's a repository of put-together words, of thought-up words, and the words that come from other languages. It's a fascinating language. It always has been. And I think it still intrigues writers, authors. I know it intrigues actors because, wow, sometimes you encounter words of wonderful playwrights that you have to run to a dictionary to find the meaning of. That's wonderfully exciting. Language should always encourage us to use our brains And if it means going to the dictionary to find the meaning, don't be embarrassed. Do it. It's the excitement of language. Learning, finding out, finding new words. Oh, how wonderful. And English is never ending.
Hmm. Pat, I thought I knew everything about you. This morning I learned a very interesting tidbit. 60 years ago, this year, 60 years ago, you won your first Emmy, 1956.
Did I?
You were 29 years old.
God bless me.
For Caesar's Hour, what was that like at 29 to win an Emmy?
Oh, come on. It was so exciting. I was befuddled with excitement. It was an honor. It was everything at that point professionally, because what do you have except those awards to indicate that you're doing something that may be fairly good?
Winning it so young, what was there an aspect of the winning the award so young that stuck with you?
Yes, it made me feel wonderful. Oh, golly, I was so excited. I remember driving in the car with my husband, and I was like a teenager. I was burbling. I was so excited. And it's that marvelous thing of being recognized for something you love doing. I think there's nothing in this world that's more exciting. That's what it is. It's just exciting.
I was also reading this morning, and you never know if these things are true on the internet or not, but it said you had enlisted in the United States Army as a civilian actress technician. Is that true?
That is true.
What was that like?
It was wonderful. I got to use the enlisted personnel of our armed forces in theatrical activity. I toured at one point with 100 of those chaps. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. We had a black company of the most exciting performers. Those African Americans were brilliant. They could do anything. They sang, they danced, they acted, they did everything. And we toured all over the country to army bases entertaining, and they were wonderful. They even did close order drill, which always fascinates me anyway, because it's so precise and it's so intriguing when they do it, because it is military, but it is so involved. It's complex and it's intriguing. Oh, I had such fun dealing with those young military people. They were wonderful. I had 100 of them, and we toured in buses, and we had probably 40 African-American soldiers, and we had problems, because when we go to restaurants, some restaurants, they could not be seated, and I never understood why. And I was born in the South, but at the time that we were touring, I couldn't understand that. But did we have fun? Did they do great shows? Was that an intriguing time? Yes, it was.
Do you think because you sound so happy at 89, were you that happy at 29, 49, 69? Where is the great period of your life?
I don't know. You mentioned all those ages, and I can't remember them, especially 29. But I have always enjoyed being the age I was. I have never fought any of it. I think wherever you are is great to be. You're alive, and you're doing things. But I have never had any specifics for my life. I've kind of let my life live its own, and it's been wonderful. I have enjoyed every part of it. I certainly enjoyed that part of being around the military. I got such respect for our chaps, and now women in the military, I just, Yes, I went around admiring their discipline and the way they handled themselves. It was wonderful. I don't know that it's changed that much over the years either. But I have always enjoyed, like, military drill to me is so fascinating. Close order drill to me is better than a ballet. It is so involved and so particular. To watch it, I think, is fascinating. I love it.
Being that currently you aren't working on any theatrical project, what is a typical day for Pat Carroll like?
A typical day now at the age of 89?
Yes.
Very careful. A typical day for me usually includes some form of sitting at the computer to communicate, not only with my family, but friends and some, you know, letters that come in that need answering. And I do so enjoy that. I love communicating. And I love communicating particularly with language. It intrigues me. And over the years, I have gotten so many letters from people, and I've always been grateful for people writing, because they tell so much about themselves that it's very easy to answer people who write me, because they are in their letters, as we are always, I think, and we don't realize it. That's why people should be very careful about what they write. Because you are there, probably more so than you are when you're in person. What you put down on a piece of paper is more open, is probably more secret, because a lot of us escapes without our knowing it onto paper. I find that fascinating. But I think the very art of letter writing has declined over the years, and I don't know why, because I've always found it one of the most freeing forms of communication, particularly when you're writing to people you know, because you can say so much in a letter that many times you don't say when you're together, because I think you think differently when you're writing something rather than saying it. I think there's a different exercise of communication.
This
I love writing letters to friends and family. I think I say much more in a much better way on a piece of paper than I do in person. I think most of us do, unless you're very self-conscious about putting words on a piece of paper. I never have been. I love it. I love it.
This brings up a very interesting point, Pat, because one of your contemporaries, Charlotte Ray, from The Facts of Life, recently...
Absolutely. What a lovely actress and what a lovely human being.
Absolutely. She was on the program 2 days ago because she just turned 90 on April 22nd.
That rapscallion, she's ahead of me.
I know. Just a touch. Just a touch.
Oh, just a touch, but that touch is... has a 9 in it. How wonderful. I can't wait to be there next year.
And she recently wrote her autobiography, and it's a very, what you just said, personal book. We learned that Charlotte Ray had a mentally handicapped son, that she's been an Alcoholics Anonymous for 42 years.
That God bless her.
She had pancreatic cancer. That her life wasn't exactly, that her husband was bisexual, which she writes about. And when I interviewed her, not so much things she wanted to talk about, but that she was willing to write about in
right.
this book, which is basically what you just said. So the question is, will Pat Carroll ever write the autobiography?
It's all outlined.
Really?
Yes. I don't feel... I'm capable of doing it right now because I haven't lived as long as I want to. I think there's still some adventures that I haven't enjoyed up to this point. But I have the book all outlined. I have a couple of chapters done. And occasionally what I think about when I sit down to write it is my grandchildren. Because you adore your grandchildren, but they don't really know you. Because they haven't known you at every age. You know, so anything I write in the future for them has to encounter a major part of my life in which they have not known me. And to explain that me that might be different to them, because to them I am a grandmother. And during those years when I existed, I wasn't a grandmother.
Would you like to see this book released in your lifetime to where you could maybe tour and meet people who have read the book?
I don't care. I really don't care. I don't have a preference. All I know is it's going to take hard work, because the little bit that I've done, and I mean little bit, has not been easy. Because you know that other people are going to read what you're writing. And you want it to be, number one, clear. You want to make sure that what you're trying to write about is truthful and has a clarity about it that people might try to understand. I've always been fascinated by biography, an autobiography, because I think people writing about their own lives have a different attitude toward it than people who are paid to write about their lives or whatever. I just think it's intriguing how you try to explain yourself when you're writing for other people to read. Because how clearly do we see ourselves, really?
Much like I was saying with Charlotte Ray's book, that there were things in there that nobody ever knew and that she decided to write about, what would be in the Pat Carroll book, or is there anything that is, I don't want to call it shocking, but that is of a personal nature that we never knew?
Well, that's a wonderful question, because I don't know. I don't have any secrets in my life. Isn't that amazing? But I've just never had to be secret about any part of my life, because it's all been in the open, you know? Oh, I'm sure I have some saucy something or other someplace in my past, but I'm not aware of it. My life has been lived so openly and publicly that I always figure everybody knows everything. And maybe there isn't that much to know, you know?
Well, you know, Pat, living to be 89, and I'm sure you're going to live long.
Wait a minute, I'm losing the phone.
Oh, okay. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm there now. I can hear you.
Living to be 89, maybe one of the only drawbacks, if you have good health, is that unfortunately a lot of friends leave you, and in your case, unfortunately, a child has passed away.
Yes.
My
son.
How do you get through that?
Well, you get through it like you get through all of life. And I think having been reared as a person of faith, death is what it is. And it's painful. And it's hard to become accustomed to. But you do it because you know it's a major part of life. You spend most of your life adjusting to reality.
One of the things I notice that people in their late 80s, early 90s have a problem with is health. Has Pat Carroll always had good health?
Yes, praise the Lord, thank you, God. I have always had good health, and I'm very grateful for that because it doesn't come to all of us. But I have had good health since I was a child. I've had a few major diseases in my growing up years and in the later years, but basically I'm still all together, and I get around pretty well, and I have no complaints. I am so grateful that I have lasted 89 years at the level of health that I've had. Say my daily prayers of gratitude.
Pat, we have about 15 minutes left here, and I want you to hold the line for just a second because we had a request to play Poor Unfortunate Souls from that...
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
And you're going to hear it, and the audience is going to hear it right now. Poor Unfortunate Souls, Ursula, you're going to recognize the voice from The Little Mermaid. And away we go.
Oh. My dear sweet child, that's what I do. It's what I live for, to help unfortunate merfolk like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to. I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch. But you'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways, repented, seen the light, and made a switch. 2 years. And I fortunately knew a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And here lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, lonely, and depressed. Pathetic. Poor unfortunate souls in pain, in need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed. Those poor unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cauldron crying, spells, Ursula, please, and I help them. Yes, I do. Now it's happened once or twice. Someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake them across the coals. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor unfortunate souls. You'll have your looks, your pretty face, and don't underestimate the importance of a body language. The men up there don't like a lot of blabber. They think a girl who gossips is a bore. Yes, on land it's much preferred for ladies not to say a word. And after all, dear, what is idle prattle for? Come on, then, not all that impressed with conversation. True gentlemen avoid it when they can. But they dote and swoon and fawn on a lady who's withdrawn. It's she who holds her tongue who gets a man. Come on, you poor unfortunate soul. Go ahead. Choice. I'm a very busy woman and I haven't got all day. It won't cost much, just your voice. Your poor unfortunate soul. It's sad, but true. If you want to cross a bridge, my sweet, you've got to pay the toll. Take a gulp and take a breath and go ahead and sign your scroll. Lots of jets and now I've got her, boys. The boss is on a roll. This poor unfortunate.
Hey, not bad at all.
Not bad, I would say. I got such a kick out of hearing that.
What was it like to do that? Do you like that song?
Oh, yes. I liked it because it was musically the character.
Absolutely.
And that fascinated me. I loved it.
How do you see Ursula?
She's a rotter. She's a very tacky creature. She's a liar. She is out to get people. She's out to have her own way, no matter what. She's not a nice person. And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I never thought of that, but you're quite right.
You know, I'm not going to ask any political opinion, but do you stay up with the news? Are you a CNN, Fox News, MSNBC newspaper?
Not all the time. I'm not addicted. But for the most part, if there's something of color questions going on, then I check the news because I know there's going to be interesting reactions.
Well, I'll tell you something, Pat, that's kind of interesting to me. You won an Emmy when you were 29. You worked with some of the greats, like I say, Danny Kaye, Red Buttons, Carol Burnett, Sid Caesar, Danny Thomas. But if you go anywhere on the internet, it will list the first thing, Pat Carroll, the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid. When you leave us 40 years from now, it will say, Pat Carroll, the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid.
Yes, it will.
Not that that's a bad thing, because it's a great role, but does that ever bother you that it kind of overshadowed some really great work that you did?
No, not at all, because people time, they make the decision about what's to be remembered. And I have nothing to do with that. I just do the work. And then people select what they want as their fate are most interested in. No, I don't care. To be remembered at all is joyous. That's wonderful by its very being. But I don't care what people remember me for. That's up to them. That's, as always, the audience choice.
Why do you think that is the thing that your audience of over 60 years remembers best?
What?
The Little Mermaid.
Oh, I think you're right, because the film itself is so wonderful. I am so proud to be in that film.
Absolutely.
It's a long-lasting fairy tale. And you can't beat fairy tales. They're the only things that really last. Listen to young mothers and their kids and the stories they tell them.
When that role came to you, because back then, in the late 1980s, voiceover was not as big as it has become. What did you think when this was offered to you?
Oh, I love the idea. Oh, I'd love to do it. I love to do anything that was a voice and that said something or sang something. I always loved that very, very much. Because I think music lasts. Words last too, but music lasts longer, it seems to me.
Where did her voice come from? Because we hear you now, but it is a little different.
Why? How is it different?
It's a little deeper. It's a little more sinister, I think.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It's not exactly the did you think it was the same voice, or did you change your voice in some
way? I never really thought about it. Isn't that funny?
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to do something in the last 9 minutes in celebration of your birthday. The Prost questionnaire is in Vanity Fair every month in the back of it. So I thought it'd be fun to run through a few of these and just get your first thing that pops in your head.
Okay.
Your favorite virtue?
Goodness.
Your chief characteristic?
Honesty.
What you appreciate most in your friends?
Loyalty.
Your main fault?
My main what?
Your main fault.
I don't get that word.
Thing wrong with you.
Oh, fault.
No, fault.
Ah. Oh, see, I just think I'm perfect. Nothing comes to mind. Main fault, oh, I've got so many. I think my main fault, I'm having to think about that because I have so many, but I think my main fault is over-optimism.
Hmm. How do you mean? That's interesting.
I mean exactly what it says. I am too optimistic. I don't take reality seriously enough.
Your idea of happiness.
Laughter.
Your idea of misery.
Pain.
If not yourself, who would you be?
If not myself, who would I be? Oh, isn't that funny? I must be very content to be myself.
I'd be content to be you.
You think what?
I said, I would be content to be you.
Well, I can't think who I'd rather be. I guess I've so enjoyed working out myself over all these years. Because you do have to deal with yourself. You can't ignore yourself.
That's exactly true. Who is your favorite author?
My favorite author. Strangely enough, Hemingway.
The natural talent you'd like to be gifted with.
Music.
What would be your favorite place to live?
Right where I'm living, Cape Cod.
Your favorite food and drink?
Hamburgers and vanilla milkshakes.
Ah, not bad. What characters in history do you like the most?
Henry VIII.
Who do you admire the most?
Anyone who's Pope. What a job that is.
Do you have any regrets?
You aren't human if you don't have any regrets. Of course I do.
Does one stick out?
No, I don't have that many.
Do you have a motto you live by?
Yes, I do. It's just, go girl.
Is there anything you would do over differently?
No, I don't think so. Being who I am, no, I would not do anything differently.
What is your present state of mind?
What is my present state of mind?
Yes.
Rather content.
Is there anything you still want to do you have not gotten the chance to do?
There are about 8 different things. One of the major ones is more travel, and I have been gifted with tremendous travel, but I would like to select it more rather than my work selecting it.
What would you have been if you were not an actress?
I think a teacher.
That's very interesting. If you had to put one piece of your work in a time capsule, what would it be?
It would be my one-woman show on Gertrude Stein.
Have you been able to keep that and pass that along to your children and grandchildren?
To keep what? Gertrude Stein?
Yeah, was that recorded?
Yes. So they have seen it. I don't think my youngest granddaughter has because she's not interested. Which I love more than anything else.
It's kind of interesting. Do they know their grandma is Pat Carroll, the actress?
I don't think so. Because that's not who they know. They know their grandma. And whatever she's done, had I been a doctor or had I been a lawyer or anything, that's what they would know. They know I am an actress, and they have seen things within their lifetime on television that I've done. But I don't think any of them have ever seen Gertrude Stein.
when you do exit this life, and this is the final question on the questionnaire, when you do exit this life 20 years from now, and you arrive in heaven, what would you like God to say to you?
Congratulations, you made it. Because there's a big question mark in my mind as to whether I'm going to make it or not. But I hope so. I hope so.
Are you a firm believer in the afterlife?
Oh, absolutely. No more so today than I was when I was a kid. It's right there. We have to know that it's there. I have seen glimpses of it. I have felt glimpses of it. Amazing. I can't wait to be there.
And we started by talking about how you just recently had a birthday. When you were a child, or did you ever think you would live to be 89? It's great people.
Oh, Lord, no. 89 was like the Greek ancients. Oh, that age was even too much to contemplate.
And now
I thought 60 was the ultimate.
Was there ever an age where you took a deep breath and thought, whew, I've hit that?
Yeah, I think 50.
50. You know, Pat, when you look back at this life, and you won't get to choose how people remember you, but how would you like people to remember you? What would you like people to say?
That I made them laugh. Because I think shared laughter is one of the greatest gifts we have in this life. And I, whether it's professional or personal, one of the funniest people in my life was my grandmother. Mm. She was a gift to me. And that's the way I would like people to remember.
And
because shared laughter is a gift. And it's a wonderful gift.
And they're not going to have to remember you soon, because you're not going anywhere for quite a while.
Oh, from your mouth to God's ear.
Pat, you know, as I always say when we have these conversations, 50 minutes has flown right by because you are one of my favorite people. I never prepare a note when you're coming on.
You are really?
Never.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Because you are a delight. You are a legend. You are a fun person, and I really, really, really do look forward to our visits, so I hope they happen as frequent as able in this life.
Oh, I do too, and I return your compliments. It's always a joy to visit with you, Scott. It's just, and you always ask bright questions, and I like that.
Well, and I always like to end by saying that I adore Pat Carroll. Thank you, Pat.
Oh, my pleasure always, Scott. You know that. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call me.
You stay well.
Thank you. The same to you. Bless your heart.
Bye-bye.
I hope I'll talk to you soon again.
So do I. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The amazing Pat Carroll. That was a lot of fun. Mary Ellen Withrow, right around the bend. Stay tuned.
That may sound a little weird, but